stuff to some people, and it is, even though we're in the valley of the shadows, God is with us in the valley no matter what. He is seeking your hearts. He's seeking us no matter what kind of report you're getting from them. Who can save those? Touch you. Nobody but Father God in heaven can heal you and deliver you from any negative thing that is coming your way. The devil is a liar. He's trying to hold us down. He doesn't want to see us up here praising the Lord. He don't want to see you praising God at all. He wants us down. He wants us in the negative. He don't want us in positive. He wants to keep your thoughts down low. He don't want to keep your thoughts up above. He don't want us focused on the Father. Father God wants us to focus on Him. What are we focusing on? We're focusing on Thy kingdom come, the will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father God is seeking us, Lord.
All right, you got your Bibles, Isaiah 6. It says, in the year King Uzziah died, thank you guys back there, I saw the Lord high and exalted. I believe it's a confirmation of what the message is this morning. And you can stand, you can be seated, whatever you want to do. It says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, his seated on a throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet. With two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Lord, I pray that you would speak this morning. I pray, God, that your word would be established in our hearts, that will accomplish everything you would intend for it to accomplish. It will not return empty, but it will work by your Spirit. I pray, God, that we would be soil, and that we would be good soil, and that the seed of your word would be implanted in our hearts. And Lord God, that it would bear much fruit, fruit of righteousness, fruit of repentance, fruit of good works, and fruit of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I believe the Lord wants to get our attention. I believe He wants to get our focus. We could talk about Uzziah reading this passage. We could talk about the uncertainty of the people after his death. He was a king, and he is dead, and now the people are uncertain. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's next for them. We could talk about the Lord and His train and how His robe fills the temple and His rule and reign is certain. And even though the earthly king has died, the King of Kings is still enthroned and sits high and exalted with all power and wisdom and glory. We could talk about the presence of the Lord shaking the house where He was. We could talk about the sinfulness of Israel and the sinfulness of Isaiah and the fire of purification reputation that cleanses our lips and cleansed his lips and cleanses witnesses and our witness and our voice and our message and our life and our hearts and our spirits. We could talk about the angelic messenger. We could talk about the confession of Isaiah. But what I want you to see this morning is that the kingdom message cannot be delivered until there is a messenger willing to say, "Here I am, send me." Hear me this morning. It took Isaiah seeing the Lord high and lifted up for Isaiah to say, "Here I am." It took Isaiah seeing the Lord high and lifted up to be willing to confess his sin and the sins of the people. It took Isaiah seeing the Lord, getting his attention, to be willing to have the fire from the altar touch his lips and cleanse him of his sin. It took Isaiah seeing the Lord high and lifted up to be willing to be the prophet he was called to be. Until we allow ourselves to be in a position of seeing the Lord, we won't be willing to be cleansed. We won't be willing to be called. We won't be willing to be commissioned. Until we get a fresh vision of Jesus, we will walk in fear and confusion and unsteadiness. Isaiah had to get a fresh vision of the King of heaven and earth to be the ambassador he was called to be. We need a fresh vision of Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me. We don't need a fresh Jesus. We don't need a different Jesus. We need the same Jesus. We need the Jesus that's in the Gospels. We need the Jesus that is exalted. We need the Jesus that is the way and the truth and the life. We don't need a different Jesus. We need a fresh vision of Jesus. Because what happens is we're distracted, we're confused, we get afraid, we get busy, we get uncertain, we get prideful, we get idolatrous, we get tempted, we get tried, we get hopeless, we get lost, we get angry, we get unsteady, we get hungry, but we don't satisfy ourselves because we keep eating the poison apple. We get thirsty, but we're not satisfied because we keep drinking dirty water. We need a fresh vision of Jesus. When our minds and our vision gets off focus, we begin to get off focus. When our vision begins to move this way, we begin to walk this way. When our vision begins to move this way, we begin to walk this way. We need a fresh vision of Jesus. We get distracted by chatter and talk and idle and busybodying and confusion, strife. And our eyes begin to look for division and confusion and strife. We need a fresh vision of Jesus. See, you can't be, this church can't be filled until it's focused. These pews that are empty can't be filled until the pews that are the seats that are full are focused. You can't fulfill your purpose. This church can't fulfill its purpose until we see the Lord high and lifted up. Then you can say, "Woe is me. Everything I've chased after is meaningless and vain and empty Woe is me, I've looked for water in empty wells. I've looked for meaning in worthless idols. I've looked for joy in pits of despair. I've looked for eternity in things that pass away. I've looked for purpose in the mirror. I've looked for God in temporary pleasure. I've looked for answers from other people. I need to see Jesus. We need a fresh vision of Jesus, high and lifted up. I need to be reminded, we need to be reminded that he is still on the throne. We need to be reminded that his thoughts for us are good. We need to be reminded that the way of the cross is the way of abundant life, even though it's hard. We need to be reminded that Jesus is the conquering Lamb and the coming King. We need to be reminded that though all hell attacks and sin entangles and temptation pursues, that we are more than a conqueror through him who loved us and gave himself for us. He is high and lifted up, and Jesus is our only hope. We got to be able to say, in the face of all fear and uncertainty and doubt, this congregation has to be able to say, here I am. We need a fresh vision of Jesus. Which brings me to the text this morning that I want to highlight in Luke chapter 18. Starting at verse 35, it says this. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Listen, if we're going to get a fresh vision of Jesus, we have to be willing to do something. First thing that this blind man was willing to do was he recognized his need. If we're going to see a fresh vision of Jesus, we've got to recognize our need. And the blind man did. Of course the blind man recognized his need. He was blind. It was obvious to him. I can't see. Everybody else tells me about things that they see, and I have no idea what they're talking about. He couldn't see. He knew. He knew his need. But listen. Some of us in this room, we know we're missing something, but we haven't allowed ourselves to admit it. We're trying to fill it with all this other stuff. We're chasing after other things. Jesus says, come here. The old hymn says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You cannot see until you first admit. We cannot see until we first admit we're blind. That's why Jesus talked about getting the log out of your own eye before you get the speck out of somebody else's. We got to recognize our need. And then we got to recognize our answer. When the blind man heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he knew Jesus was the answer to his need. He knew Jesus was the one who could heal him. He knew Jesus was his only hope. He knew Jesus was the promised Messiah. He calls him Son of David. That is a messianic title. That is a kingdom title. That is an understanding of Jesus' authority. So what does he do? This blind man, he cries out. He's not ashamed. He's not embarrassed. Listen, church, don't be ashamed or embarrassed. Don't worry about others will think about you when you cry out for Jesus. Don't worry about others who may say, hey, quiet down or calm down or not right now. Don't listen when they say, be quiet. Because you need to see. Because you're blind. You're blind. You're blind. You're blind. I'm blind. We need to see. So you got to cry out. Seek Jesus. Pursue Jesus. Practice the presence of Jesus. Don't be silenced by the fear or the doubt or your own blindness. Cry out for your vision of Jesus. The Jesus of the Gospels, the Jesus of the Kingdom, the Jesus of the Scriptures. Cry out for Jesus. And it says that he then came near and confessed. He confessed his need, and he confessed Jesus as the Son of David. Listen, you don't need to be afraid of Jesus. This man wasn't. Don't be afraid to come near. Don't be afraid to cry out. Don't be afraid to confess your need, your sin, your fears, your doubts, your blindness. Don't be afraid to confess your failures and your weaknesses. Come near and confess. And Jesus says something. Jesus says, blind man, your faith has saved you. Your belief. Listen, his faith was evident. His faith was evident. How was it evident? Because he cried out loud. He wouldn't be silenced. He kept drawing near because of his belief. He kept drawing near because he believed. He kept drawing near. He was loud. He was persistent. He kept crying when they said, be quiet. He cried out all the more because he believed. His belief was evident. It wasn't some mystical thing he had in his mind. His faith was something that caused him to cry out. He believed. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is lived out. How you live shows your faith. And it was this belief, it was this faith in Jesus as the promised one. This is important. It wasn't faith that Jesus was merely a miracle worker. It wasn't faith that Jesus was just a prophet. It was a faith that Jesus was the anointed one, the Son of David, the one prophesied about, the one who would be enthroned forever, whose kingdom would never end. This man's faith wasn't just that he would be, that Jesus would heal him. This man's faith wasn't just that Jesus would work a miracle. This man's faith was that Jesus would be the eternal, everlasting King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he knew that if Jesus is that man, Jesus can do whatever. So we trusted him. It was this faith in Jesus, this confession of Jesus as the anointed one, that it was that Jesus had come into the world to free the world from the curse, to reorder our affections, and to make things right again. It was this Jesus that he put his faith in. See, a lot of times we just put our faith in the Jesus who's our healer, or the Jesus who's our deliverer, or the Jesus that we hope that when we pass by that cop, we can pray, Lord, please don't let him pull me over. Jesus is so much more than that. We want the Jesus who does the things. We need to get a vision of the Jesus who is King of Kings. We want the Jesus that makes us feel good. We want the Jesus that just that heals us. And those are great things. They're promises. But when our focus is on the attributes of Jesus and not on the person of Jesus, we lose our way and we become blind like the beggar. Believe Jesus. Believe Jesus. And then here's what he did. The Lord healed him because of his confession. He's crying out in his confession. And then he receives and he rejoices. Listen, as you get a fresh vision of Jesus, it is by Jesus now that you'll see everything else. This blind man couldn't see anything until he first saw Jesus. The first thing this blind man saw was Jesus. You will not see anything correctly until you first see Jesus. A fresh vision of Jesus changes how you see everything else. A fresh vision of Jesus changes how you see the world. A fresh vision of Jesus changes how you see the lost. A fresh vision of Jesus changes how you see the broken. And it changes how you see the marginalized. It changes how you see the powerful. It changes how you see sin. It changes how you see the church. It changes how you see marriage. It changes how you see wealth. It changes how you see yourself. It changes how you see your purpose. It changes how you see life. It changes how you see God. A fresh vision of Jesus changes how you see everything else. You stop looking at yourself first. A fresh vision of Jesus causes rejoicing because everything else becomes clearer. Everything else becomes clearer after we see Jesus. How long has it been since you gazed upon the beauty of Christ? Not seeking his attributes, just seeking his face. How long has it been since you beheld the wonder of the cross? Listen, I want to see. I don't want to be blind. I want to see Jesus because I want to see everything else with new eyes. I want to see everything else with a kingdom perspective. I want to see everything else. I even want to see myself the way Jesus sees me. I want to see Jesus because I want to see others the way Jesus sees them. I want to see Jesus because until Jesus heals my eyes, everything else is darkness. I want to see Jesus because I'm tired of walking in the darkness. I want to see Jesus because I'm tired of stumbling around in the darkness. I want to see Jesus because I'm tired of doubt and confusion and fear and hopelessness. We got to see Jesus. We've been distracted. And thinking that other things can fix what we got distracted by. We want to run to answers instead of running to Jesus. I want to see Jesus. The C.S. Lewis quote, I love this quote. C.S. Lewis says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." See, I believe that the sun has risen, not just because I see the sun up in the sky, but because of the sun, I can see you today. I can go outside and I can see the trees and the birds and the pond back there. I can see the church. Because by the sun, everything else is clear. I believe in Christianity like I believe in the sun. Because it's only through the lens of Christianity, of Christ and Him crucified and resurrected, that anything else makes sense. And by that, that I can see anything else. When I lose sight of that, nothing else makes sense. And I try to be my own sun. Apart from Jesus, I want to see Jesus because I want to see the world according to what it's meant to be, what it will be as Jesus is renewing it. I want to see Jesus because I want to see. I want the church to see Jesus because I want the church to not walk in blindness. Apart from Jesus, everything is darkness. Apart from Jesus, nothing gives me hope or purpose or reason or peace or love or truth or beauty. I want to see Jesus. See, that was the request of the blind man and his confession. I want to see. The only way I will see is by first seeing Jesus. That's my confession. I pray it's our confession that God would visit this church, that we would see Him high and lifted up. Jesus, we want to see You. Jesus, be high and lifted up. Jesus, be exalted. Jesus, cleanse us, heal us. The old hymn says, "Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Though my best thought, by day and by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence is my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word, I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I Thy true Son, Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and Thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Jesus, I want to see You. Jesus, I want to see You. I believe we need to cry out for a fresh vision of Jesus in our lives, in our homes, and in our church. This week, as I was in some prayer, I just felt this is what the Lord wanted us to hear this morning. That we can't get a fresh vision of Jesus until we look up. Until we look up. You can't get a fresh vision of Jesus looking backwards. You can't get a fresh vision of Jesus looking to this person or to that person or to this podcaster or that YouTube preacher. A fresh vision of Jesus. Nothing is going to satisfy you until you have a fresh vision of Jesus. You can go to every church in this county, but until you have a fresh vision of Jesus, you're not going to be satisfied. And so as I was praying, the Lord reminded me of some scriptures in the Psalms that point us upward to see this vision of Jesus. Psalm 3, verse 3 says, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts my head." The one who lifts my head. The King James Version, you probably read it, lifter of my head. My glory and the lifter of my head. There's a great choir song. If I could sing that, man. Y'all have to listen to it later. I don't want to ruin it for you. "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head, the lifter of my head." Here's what the Lord wants to remind you from this passage this morning, is that you need your head lifted, but you can't lift it yourself. There are some times that we keep trying and struggling to lift our own head, trying to figure it out ourselves and looking and wandering and going back and forth and aimlessly went. We need Jesus. Cry out to Jesus, "Lord, lift my head. Lift my head. Lift my head. Lift my head." You don't get a fresh vision of Jesus when you're walking around distracted or entertaining thoughts that aren't God thoughts or voices that aren't God voices or people that aren't God people. Psalm 24:7 says, "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." If we want the King of glory to come in, we got to lift our heads. We got to lift, look up. You go up when you look up. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him." My soul, why are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, and I will praise him, my Savior and my God. Why are you so downcast? Because your hope's not in God. Your hope is in that job. Your hope is in that doctor's report. Your hope is in that place. Here's what the Lord says through the psalmist. Put your hope in God. Psalm 34:5 says, "Those who look to him are radiant." Who wants to be radiant? What does that mean? It means, it says their faces are never covered with shame. Those who look to him are radiant. Why? Because they're reflecting the sun. See? The moon doesn't have its own light. What does the moon do? It reflects the sun. But the moon at night is radiant. Not radiant with its own light, but radiant with the light from the sun. If you want to be radiant in your faith, you can't be radiant if you are not looking up at the sun. Look up. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Psalm 121 says, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" Psalm 123:1 says, "I lift my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven." Here's what I believe that God is calling this church to do, and it's been confirmed, I think, through our worship. It's been confirmed in the word that the Lord spoke through. And has touched and moved, and it's been confirmed through the word here this morning. And I believe I believe here's what it is. Stop looking back. Stop looking around. This is a word for the church. Cameron, I believe that God spoke, and this is a confirmation this morning. Stop looking back. Stop looking around. This is for the church. Stop looking down. Stop looking back, stop looking around, and stop looking down. He's the lifter of our heads. Healing comes by looking up. Salvation comes by looking up. Restoration comes by looking up. Renewal comes by looking up. Deliverance comes by looking up. Hope comes by looking up. Look up, church, your redemption is near. But sometimes, church, we must choose to look up. And sometimes, church, we must choose to tell folks who are going to look down, you go walk around with your head down somewhere else. I'm looking up. I'm looking up. And if you're looking down and I'm looking up, we walk in two different directions. You got to choose to look up. But I promise you, if you look up, Jesus is passing by. And he hears your cry, and he hears your confession, and he says, come here. Look up. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, let us get a fresh vision of you, a fresh vision of you. Let us look up, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, but sat down at the right hand of the Father. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed this morning. You would say, Pastor Brock, I don't want to be distracted anymore. I want to set my eyes on Jesus. I believe God wants to do something. I don't believe God's finished in this church. Even though, as we were reminded, we may walk through a valley, I believe God is finished with this church. But we have to look up. I can't look up for you. But you would say, Pastor Brock, I'm choosing to look up. If that's you this morning, would you just right where you're at, just slip your hand up. Amen. Amen. I'm choosing to look up. Because I believe if God can heal the blind, God can bring life and sight to each one of us in this house.